This is Brock and Salk.
I don't read the internet, guys.
Presented by Carter, Volkswagen, and Ballard.
Take the bull by the hands.
On Seattle Sports Station.
And Brooke Roar, you are. And Brooke, you are.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Now here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
Well, we have one more hour here, Brock. We'll do some ranking coming up at 9:45. We are going to for ranking today, Brock.
Uh-huh.
One of your favorite pieces of sound.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
I do find that Tuesday rankings have like 4 days, like a big boil or zit buildup. Yeah. And you're just so excited. You are so, you
Justin. Justin and I have been working on this for a while.
So excited.
There's a boil I'm going to take offense to.
I promise you, Brock, today's ranking will include one of your favorite pieces of sound in our system. How about that?
Great.
So we'll do that coming up at 9:45.
We recruited someone else to our team, Brock.
Oh, yeah. Who?
I met Salk's daughter over the weekend, and
she
approached me to ask, do you understand what they're doing when they rank things? And I was like, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that, Avery.
I think she was trying to curry favor with you. I think she sort of knew where you were and wanted to sort of, she's very relational. She was looking for a bonding thing with you and, you know. She's 10. Like, that's the kind of thing she comes up with. So
what are we doing? We're trying to do games at 9, right? Yeah, what do we got?
Well, today we're going to play a little By Yourself. We've got music, and we've got, there it is. That's By Yourself music. Maura is going to lead us through it today. Maura, what are we
Justin
buying or selling?
Justin and I both have some for you.
Oh, okay, good.
All right, well, up first.
Yes.
I know that Brock has been eager to hear this sound. I want to get your reaction. So my question is about the Cardinals in general, but first I need to play this cut of Kyler Murray kind of throwing his receivers under the bus after last week's game.
I tell guys all the time, always, like, never, you know, never, you gotta be awake playing with me. Like, I mean, it's no matter what the play is, I got free reign to do whatever, get into whatever. So when you're asleep and you don't think you're getting the ball, it's we can't play like that. Everybody's gotta be lit up, in the game, locked in, and we just gotta be better, and we will be.
Sell.
Wow.
Oof.
Can I sell that? How hard can I sell it? How fast?
That is big talk coming from
that
a guy who checked out of the game last year.
Sold.
Well, my question was, the Cardinals are currently 27th in yards per play and dead last in yards per play allowed. Buy or sell?
Sell.
Wait. Buy or sell Kingsbury being fired by the end of the season?
Sell.
The
Bidwells have no clue what's going on there, nor have they ever had any clue what's going on there. They should have fired Kingsbury over a year ago, and they continue to trot him out there like he has any idea what he's doing. He does not. The whole organization is a disaster.
Wow, someone is fired up. Bruce Arians ain't even there, bro.
No? Where is he?
Take it down a notch.
Oh, yeah, he's hanging out on the sideline where he's not supposed to be in Tampa drinking paint.
I'm going to buy that, Maura. I'm going to buy it.
You think the Bidwell, somebody wakes them up and says, hey, it's time to fire your coach?
When you have given that quarterback who just criticized publicly, you never do that. You criticize privately, you praise publicly. You have empowered that quarterback. You took the clause out of his contract. You paid him lots and lots of dollars. So it's got to be somebody else's fault. So you're going to fire Cliff Kingsbury, who's not a leader of men. I mean, you've never looked at him. He wasn't a leader of men at Texas Tech. He's not been a leader of men at Arizona. I think he's a very innovative mind. I think he's an excellent and will be an excellent offensive coordinator somewhere, either collegiately or in the NFL somewhere. But he's not the face. He's not the front man.
Well, he's a face.
But, yeah, he will. If they continue this struggle, there will be a scapegoat. It won't be Kyler. Kyler and Cliff were tied at the hip when they came in together, so they will say it is Cliff's fault, and he will be the one fired.
Would you want him as your offensive coordinator?
I think I would, yeah. I think he's a very good, very innovative, does a lot of excellent things, is also morphed and added a run component in the league in kind of...
A Seahawks defender will finish with double-digit sacks this season.
Sell.
Sold in the back row.
Sell.
There are currently 6 players with 1 sack each, by the way. Dunlap finished last year with 8.5.
Sell.
Yeah.
Well, that's quick.
Then you watch last night. I mean, look at the Dallas Cowboys playing... You know, and I kind of like Cooper Rush, by the way. He's an excellent backup. He throws a great deep ball. They're 2-0 with their backup QB because their defense is filthy, and Gus Bradley coordinates it, and Gus Bradley hasn't deviated. You need monsters up front to impact and affect the game and rush from the edge, whether that's Lawrence or Micah Parsons, who they've drafted, who's capable of doing that and impacting and affecting the game. So Seahawks don't have that. Uchenna has never been that in his career. Solid. He may get to 6.5 by the end of the season. But yeah, they don't have that monster.
All right, I don't know if you guys caught this last night, but this was Eli Manning on the Manning cast saying that the Broncos maybe should have spent the money they spent on Russ elsewhere.
This, I think, is another of those landmark events.
Wait, that's not it.
They should have paid that punter $235 million instead of Russell.
You know, is that Jared Kelnick laughing?
No, do you know who that was laughing? That was Mike, or I mean Matt, Mark.
No, was that McAfee?
Matt McAfee.
That was McAfee.
It's quite the laugh.
By herself, yes. Russ has the biggest punchline in the NFL right now.
Oh. Sell. Nathaniel Hackett's still the biggest
Sold
punchline in the NFL.
In the back row.
Yeah, I'm going to sell that, but as far
Sold
as...
in the back row.
But as far as animus around the league for Russ, and even in this Denver market, just...
It's like open season, right? Well, it's like somebody's declared open season on Russ.
Well, he took that little shot at Pete, right, about, well, I guess I still can't scramble to the left. And you would have think you'd been playing to the peanut gallery, right? The people that you'd have in the palm of your hands, the people that... wanted you as the Messiah after 6 years of walking through the wilderness.
Right. It's like,
and they were kind of like, yeah, you're 22nd in the league in passer rating. You've thrown two touchdowns. You've been sacked 9 times. You're completing 59% of your passes. Probably not the time to be. Oh, and by the way, he scored 1 touchdown on 14 possessions.
Yeah, but the guys around better be awake anytime he's got the ball. What a mess. Jeez. Kyler Murray. Sorry.
All right. I got one for you.
Okay.
Buy or sell. Russell Wilson will receive 0 MVP votes in 2022.
Bye.
Bye.
He's already frittered that away, right?
Yes. I mean, you could change the narrative. We watched it. I mean, we watched him through 9 games have. If that year was a 9 or 8 game season, he'd have won the MVP. And he would have had all those votes. So you can... Those can change. I guess I'm on just a Pete Carroll plant-based turn. I want to say like turn, and I have said turn like 9 times already this morning. But to dig yourself out of this hole, and Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, and look up in the standings, and look up at the guys at the top right now. Yeah, hard to imagine that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And that crew are going to be able to perform.
Partly
like that.
Because of what he's already done, and partly because he's not good enough at what he wants to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And maybe somebody will help him understand what it is he's actually best at. The problem is that doesn't get MVP votes, as he's already determined. It's a tough situation he's in. Yep. He wants to be something he's not because what he is doesn't get what he wants. Tough spot.
All right, let's squeeze in one more here. Buy or sell. You can do these individually if you want. Buy or sell the 3-0 teams remaining, the Eagles and the Dolphins.
Those are the only teams yes. that are 3-0.
The Eagles Giants yes. were the other ones.
The Eagles Chiefs and lost. The Dolphins?
Yep. Yeah. The two birds.
The only 0-3, I think, is
Raiders. Ka-ka! Ka-ka!
I think the Eagles might be good this year.
The Eagles look pretty good. I'm not buying that Tua can stay healthy for 17 games.
Agreed.
And if he goes out, then I don't know what they've
Sold
got at that point. So I'll sell the Dolphins. I'll buy the Eagles.
Yep.
Same. Look at that agreement.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that...
the chemistry.
I think that's smart analysis right there. And did you see they're trying to say it was a back injury with Tua? When clearly his head slams into the turf.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll tell you who's innovative, man. There have been a bunch of these guys plucked from the McVay tree, right? The whole Shanahan McVay tree. And I'll tell you, this guy, Mike McDaniel, down there in Miami land, innovative, creative, taking a bunch of weaponry and putting them in some phenomenal spots. And oh, by the way, again, another message, playing to the strengths of those guys' talents. Been pretty fun to watch.
Well, good stuff there. That's fun. I like buy and sell. It's always one of my favorite things that we do. So fun buying and selling. We'll come back, give you everything you need to know. We have some, well, as I said, Brock, ranking today with One of your favorite pieces of sound in our system.
Oh, good.
You will like it. Good. I promise. It's all coming up. It's Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
You know, Brock, you're talking about needing some of your aces, some of your guys in your rotation to truly dominate. I mean, it's sort of a funny thing to ask about, given how good that unit has been for the last month. I mean, they've just been spectacular. But Robbie Ray is sort of the one, not that he's been bad, he's been unbelievable at times, but just the consistency, right? He's had some unbelievable starts and then some where you go, man, that just doesn't look like the same guy. Well, I think he should be at his best going up against a lineup like Texas, right? A team that is out of it. He can dazzle them with the slider, and he'll take the ball tonight. I'm looking forward to watching him, and he's probably the guy I've spent the least amount of time thinking about, right? I think about Luis probably too much. Logan and Kirby, the two kids, kind of wondering what they're going to do. Marco is Marco, but Ray is in some ways such an X factor for this team. Guy was a Cy Young Award winner last year. And when you talk about an opportunity for guys to kind of step up here in the final week or so, he'd be a name that I think is probably worth pointing to. He'll go tonight against Jesus Tinoco, a bullpen game for the Rangers. Mariners still have that magic number at 6. The Orioles won yesterday, so it did not improve, unfortunately.
Well, we'll get to see, hopefully, Eugenio Suarez tonight. He's taken BP. All signs are positive thus far. Jerry DePoto obviously celebrating Luis Castillo yesterday, but was asked about some of these different personnel moves, gave a pretty positive report that Julio should be back Monday. All things are on schedule. That is good. Suarez, the good vibes guy, as a DH would be a good thing. And I'll tell you, man, it's just, you don't have to believe what Salk and I say or what Shannon Dreyer says or insiders say. When somebody like Julio on an off day is at the press conference for Luis Castillo to celebrate his teammate, actions speak louder than words.
For both of them. It says something about Julio, and it says something about Castillo and the impact that he's made in just a short amount of time. We talked about how when guys showed up at Julio's signing, what it said about Julio. Well, I think it says a little something about Castillo as well, that Julio was there, and the two of them are going to be part of this thing for the next few years.
And those
together.
Two are why you're not talking about Robbie Ray, because we didn't know if true. Julio would even make the team and Luis was traded for. That's otherwise, it would have been a lot of Robbie Ray discussion this year.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Waiting to see what happens as the Seahawks prepare for Detroit this weekend, Brock. Wide receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown underwent tests Monday on his ankle, which he suffered at Minnesota, an ankle injury. And this is from Tom Pelissero. Results are encouraging. They'll be cautious, but if St. Brown misses time, it shouldn't be anything long term. I would still think there's a possibility he ends up missing this week just to be safe. He's such an important piece of what they do, and that would be a major difference. He's been tremendous this year.
Yeah, he is a very good player. These two teams, I saw a metric this morning, I think lead the league in just straight dropbacks. Jared Goff and Geno Smith, when you think about it, very similar players. Very similar. When it's open and they can operate on time and get the ball out of their hands, they can be very, very efficient. Jared Goff went to a Super Bowl with the Rams doing so. And Geno right now is completing 78% on many of those quick dropbacks and playing out of the shotgun and doing what their skill set is comfortable. This will come down to violence. The head coach of the Detroit Lions, remember what he's willing to do. He's willing to, you know, tear legs and limbs and bite, you know, kneecaps off and everything else. He's crazy, man. Campbell is there. They're 1-2. The Seahawks are 1-2. There is an enormous difference in this league from a psyche standpoint. We know they look at like each quarter, right? Most of these teams, even with the 17th game, will break it up into the quarters of the season. Sitting there 2-2, if you can find a way to win in the Motor City versus 1-3, enormous difference.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
It was good to have hockey back last night, Brock. I was really enjoying it. I love hockey, man. I grew up watching it. It's part of my blood as a sports fan. Not like the blood of the Welsh guys that we were playing earlier. No. But it's something I grew up with. So when the calendar starts to turn this time of year, it was great to see preseason action last night. Matty Beniers is so fun to watch. I am so excited for a full season of watching this kid play. I think he is dynamic. I don't know whether he's ever going to be a scorer or a playmaker quite at the level of, you know, some of the very best in the game, but he does everything right, and he does it in all three zones, and he had a beautiful goal last night. Ryan Donato had the second, Morgan Geeky the third, and just kind of my early take on this team, I think they're going to be better. Doesn't mean they're going to be good or great yet. But, I mean, I like the moves they made. They brought in what they needed. Two guys who can score in Burakovsky and you gave me all the credit earlier. Oh, Bjorkstrand.
Thank you.
And then some guys with grit, Kempney and Schultz. And so they brought in what they needed to add and hopefully put some of the guys that were playing, you know, a spot above where they should have been last year. Now everybody gets to slide down into more of a comfort zone. I think I'm looking for them to be a little
bit
better this year.
How quickly can this turn? We've seen in college football that is the fastest turning speedboat there is.
To
competitive. Turn to actually get the hooks emotionally into the sports fan
turn
in Seattle.
Turn to playoffs? A year or two.
Mm-hmm.
Turn to Stanley Cup challenging? Could be a little longer than that.
Yes.
Is that fair?
I think that's totally fair. Yeah. And you even saw that with the Colorado Avalanche, who for years were deemed the most talented team, and it took hiccups, and it took early exits, and it took some struggle and pain and a few of the right veteran pieces for them to add to all of their uber talent to ultimately lift that trophy. But we're not asking for a Stanley Cup trophy yet. You're asking to be relevant. You're asking in the sports landscape in Seattle that's, let's face it, man, becoming a little more diverse with the Mariners being real, with the Julio Rodriguez being a generational star, right? With the Huskies turning their fortunes quickly and the Seahawks in quickly rebuild mode of themselves. Like, you've got to be compelling and you've got to be relevant. And that means likely just finding a way into the playoffs. And if you tell me with proper leadership, coaching and development, you can do that within a year or two in the NHL.
That's a conversation that we'll have, I'm sure, throughout this year. Because if they don't get off to a good start, I think the coaching is going to come into question very much. All right, that's everything you need to know. We do that quarter past every hour here on the new Brock and Salk show. Thanks for being with us. It's been fun, man. Fun first couple of weeks here of doing the show. It does not feel like we took a break, at least to me.
No.
It feels like we've just been doing this straight. It's so funny. I think I've managed to block out everything that happened in the last 3 years or so.
It just it flies by. I mean, every day Molly will tell you, like, I'm done and I'm like energized and like it's just wow. This is back to.
We'll see how you feel. I mean, that's one thing in September. We'll see how you feel in July, right? I mean, we'll see.
Oh, I'm not doing the show in July.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize. Oh, you're gonna take July.
No, off. February and July. Yeah. Oh, I didn't tell you that.
No. Oh, got it. Oh, okay,
I'm sorry.
Perfect. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh no, I'll be on my own for that.
Didn't
that's
read
fine.
Any of the fine print there either.
No, that's you, Justin, and Maura. You guys are February and July. You
got
guys
it.
Nail it.
Oh, now I understand how this goes. All right. We talked to Pete Carroll yesterday, and he said two or three things that I think warrant a little bit of a deeper dive. One spells, as Brock said earlier, wholesale change on the way. We'll discuss next. It is Seattle Sports on 710 and seattlesports.com.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports Station.
All right, we got ranking coming up here in less than 15 minutes. We got a lot of sound for today's ranking, so we might need to get to it a little early, Brock. It's that kind of a day. You said this morning, and I really want to make sure I follow up on this, that the Seahawks may need to make some wholesale changes this week.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Well, that's not just a little tweak. It's not just, we can continue to do the same thing over and over. And it was reacting to Coach Carroll's sound, right? It was reacting when we asked yesterday how much of this is, you know, defeating blocks and how much of this is scheme. Because the week before, remember, after the loss to San Francisco, he said, hey, yeah, we got some work to do. We got to, you know, offensively, we got to do this, this, and this. And Shane Waldron did. Defensively, he said, we got to do this, this, and this. They didn't. Here was Pete Carroll yesterday with us talking about that plan.
You're on to it, because that's basically what, you know, what happens in the running game. You know, guys, they get their opportunities and they have their fits, and then they have to win in their, you know, in their assignments. And so we have to do better there. But that's not just the guys. We have to help them more. And, you know, there's different choices we have scheme wise and things that we can do. And we just need to fix some things up. I'm not going to go into it any further than that, please. But, you're on it though. That is an issue when you're not getting off the blocks to make the tackle, then the next guy's got to make it. And so we have to be exactly in the right spots, and we just have to be cleaner and sharper, and we have to help our guys more so with what we're asking them to do.
Do you have a pen and paper in front of you?
I do.
Do you have your Ebenezers in front of you?
I do.
Okay. So put on your glasses.
Okay.
Pull out that piece of paper. Okay. Write a, draw a square, put an X in the middle. You can all do this and follow along at home or in your office if you want to. That's your center.
Okay.
Draw two circles on his right and left. Those are your guards. And then two more circles on the other side of the guard, of the guards. And those are your tackles. So you got those five? Okay, let me see it. Let me see the view. Perfect. Okay, perfect. Now do that two more times, right underneath it. Just
the exact same thing?
The exact same thing.
Right underneath it. No space in between?
No, you want a little space in between.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so just even it out on your piece of paper. So I know this can be difficult radio, but just do that. Yes, you, yep, yep. And now did you do a third one underneath that?
Oh, a third one?
Yeah, I need three. Okay. So back in the day, and you've asked Coach Carroll about this, you know, well, we're going to go to a 3-4, right? So now draw on your tackles X's and an X right in front of the center, right? And so you've
head,
got
head up on
head
the,
up, ta- head
on
up
the
on the tackles
and
the center, okay? And imagine from your life growing up, that's Ted Washington.
Yep.
Imagine from your life, that's Ted Johnson playing linebacker behind them, right?
Yep.
And then you can even it out and put four different X's, like in front of the guards, you know, a little bit deeper at the second level, and then two guys outside. So you've got that alignment. That is the old school.
That is the traditional 3-4.
There you go.
Okay.
That is the Pittsburgh Steelers for so many years. That is,
yep,
you know, a scheme that was prevalent a lot, and you needed big, heavy linebackers and everything to take on those guards. And you needed a grizzly bear at 350 pounds to contain the middle of that. Okay, so that's a 3-4.
Okay.
Now go to, we're going to drop a little 4-3.
Okay.
All right. And we're going to put an end outside the left tackle, right on his outside shoulder. Then you're going to put a T right between the left guard and center, right in the A gap. And then you're going to put another T on the outside of the right guard's shoulder, and then an E outside the right tackle. All right. And that is a traditional four down, depending on the line where the tight end is. You can go over or under on that 1-3 technique. But let me see it. Let me see your drawing. You nailed the 3-4. Good. Perfect. Okay. So there's your 4-3, and you got backers behind him. Sometimes you put the Sam right on the line of scrimmage, the two backers inside. Sometimes you could put all three backers in there, right? But that's your 4-3. Now, here's what the Seahawks have done the first three games of the season.
Okay.
Okay. Put an N for a nose for Big Al Woods, captain, right over the center. Okay. Then put another tackle and tackle on the guards. And you can put a kind of
little
head up. Yeah. A little head up to their outside shoulder.
Yeah.
You know, and that's been Monet. That's been Shelby Harris. That's been Puna. And now put your kind of linebacker guys. You can call them ends or linebackers, however you want to put Uchenna or Daryl Taylor. So you've got kind of those five there. That's what you have been doing. And on paper, you look at that, Mike, and go, man, of those three, that just stuffed the run really good.
Well, you can't run up the middle against that, right? Because you've got three guys essentially inside the tackles.
That's
right. So you're forcing them to run into, what is that, the C-gap?
Yep.
And then getting your outside linebackers to kind of converge for the tackles, right?
Correct. Correct.
Right.
But what has your eye seen for 3 weeks?
It's not working.
It's not working.
No.
It's not working. And you know what? Your tackles, Puna and Shelby and Monet and Jordan, Justin or Jefferson, or not Quentin, they can't just thrash guys. Right? They can't just, and so that four down look above it, obviously, guess what you have to do with those four down? They got to be aggressive.
Mm.
They got to hit gaps, right? They got to reset the line of scrimmage. They can't just, you know, in the old 3-4 at the top, those guys would hold their own.
They'd play two gap.
Yeah, they play two gap, right? So, you know, the third one down here at the bottom is kind of a morph of those. That's why it's a 3-4, 4-3 principles, 4-3, three down principles, whatever you want to, right? Shape it, but it's not working. It's not working.
Okay, so what is the fix you'd like to see them do?
Well, I you're not going to see this anymore. I don't think so. And when Pete said to us and kind of cut us off, like, I don't want to go any further, it doesn't mean the whole thing is scrapped, but it does mean we are getting exploited on the edges. When Cordarrelle Patterson is running free and untouched for 40 yards in this league, that can't happen.
Right.
So Daryl or whoever comes in, he mentioned Daryl Johnson and actually Boye Mafe is two guys you may see more of.
Bigger.
Stronger, hold the point, change the line of scrimmage, right? But what they had been doing and hope to do, and now there's two schools. There's some of you that can say, yep, Pete's lost it. Can't coach him. How in the world you can't and don't know that, and it takes you three NFL games to learn it? Shame on you. And I would say to you, contraire, mon frere, is that a word?
Sure.
Yeah, that's welcome to today's NFL where they don't have preseason. Welcome to today's NFL where you don't hit. Welcome to today's NFL where it's walkthrough and glorified, you know, just thud practice. You don't get to see Puna and those guys. You don't get to see hitting and live tackling. You don't. You get like 60 reps in a game to start to evaluate. You don't even see it in the preseason because teams don't play their stars. Well, you should have played your ones. Oh, against twos? You may have had a more mismatched look at it. You know, like, no, that works against backups, but not against the ones, and it's not working. So I actually give Pete a little credit, and I'm kind of anxious to see some of these fronts and some of what they do and what they get to. And you've got an opportunity with Detroit.
Man, I got to tell you, bro, can I jump in here? Because I'm listening to this, and maybe I'm being devil's advocate, but I don't know that I reacted the same way when I hear this from you. And obviously, we'll see what it looks like.
You mean?
Well, yeah, but more when I hear what you're kind of suggesting. I mean, they went out in this offseason and tried to commit to a new style of defense, right? They went out and got players that tried to fit that new style. Chenna Nwosu does not fit what Pete used to do, right? He is specifically the type of linebacker. He's an undersized end, right? He's smaller, faster, etc. He's an outside linebacker more than a defensive end. That's supposed to be the idea here, right? You're going out and acquiring players to fit this new scheme. You do it for three games, and then you decide you're out on the scheme that you just flipped over to this offseason?
Yeah, I think
ring true to me.
Give me more players, because Uchenna is one, and I think actually Uchenna can do what Bruce Irvin and play some of that role and be a pass rusher and set an edge better, and he's shown that he sets it much better than Daryl Taylor has been able to do that. So, yeah, when you talk about more Boye Mafe and Daryl Johnson, that's not taking reps away from, you know, Uchenna. I think he can hold the point. So I think he's flexible enough to do both. Shelby Harris has played, you know, a little bit more of a four down. He's comfortable doing both of those things. This isn't wholesale change behind. This isn't like in the secondary all of a sudden, hey, we go from a single high to a two deep. No.
That's fair.
It just, you do all those things behind it.
Something about it doesn't quite feel right to me that after three games, you're going to throw out the thing that you changed to this offseason?
At the point of attack, you're not winning. Mm-hmm. At the point of attack, you're getting blown off the ball.
Right.
At the point of attack, Puna Ford, who's been a good player for you, very productive, difference maker, you rewarded him. He's in a new scheme, and he can't fit in it. Al Woods can fit in any scheme.
I guess what I'm reminded of, and again, maybe I'm playing a little devil's advocate there. I don't know. Maybe this is the right thing to do. The last thing you want to do is keep getting beat the same way.
Yes.
So, fine. Change it up and kind of go in another direction. I'm reminded of one of the brilliant moves Pete and his group made when he first got here, which was turning Red Bryant from a defensive tackle into a defensive end in that system, right?
Correct.
And saying, we are going to go bigger, and we are going to stop the run.
And you may see some of that.
Is that the kind of thing you need, you're talking about here?
You may see some of that. You may see a little adaptation, you know.
God, but it kind of feels like they're there with Puna and Al Woods and another defensive lineman.
Guys,
aren't you kind of doing that already?
But they're not winning in the position they're in there. Mm. They're getting moved and blown off the football. They're not getting and resetting the line. And Daryl and those teams are looking at that front and going, yeah, we're not going to waste time running between the guards. We are going to get here to the edge. We're going to get here to the C gap. We're going to make these safeties and the nickelbacks and these guys tackle. We're going to make Cody fight through, you know, a bunch of Wash and Jordan Brooks. Those guys aren't clean. We'll ask KJ about this tomorrow. I mean, Cody and Brooks are also not getting off blocks well, but they're getting overwhelmed. I mean, that surge of water, like a, you know, what's going to hit Florida, unfortunately, man. When that surge comes, it's you can't avoid it. Mm. And those linebackers are not avoiding, and they're catching everything, and they're getting run on downhill, and that has to change. That has to change. So this isn't scrapping the whole defensive scheme. This isn't scrapping what Sean Desai and Carl Scott bring. Those guys are still doing what they're doing on the back end of it. This is Clint Hurt and Pete Carroll going, hey, man, this ain't working. This is not working. We're asking guys to do things they're not best at, and we need to start to put more of them in positions of success.
It's interesting, and I was asking Pete yesterday, is some of this just communication issues, or is it, you know, are they mental errors by the players, communication issues from the coaches?
It's a mix. It's a combination of stuff. It's, you know, it's always a combination of stuff. It's not that easy, you know. That it's just one thing, but I, again, like I said, I'm, you know, I need to help our guys more. And I'll say it, you know, just coming from me and Clinton and I and Sean and our guys, we know we have to help them in some certain areas and so that they can really be aggressive and really teeing off the way we like them to. Our guys played really hard and they were physical and they knocked the heck out of them and all of that. We were available for it. We got some nice sacks in the game, and some nice stops, but not enough. They were able to play pretty conservatively, and that doesn't open them up for the mistakes that you need to, create on defense. So
yes.
It was hard to get the ball off them.
Yes. Yeah. You needed Mariota to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he gave you one. There could have been two or three. You need Jared Goff to give you. You need to hit him and harass him.
Which
and get
he's
in
capable
his space.
Of doing.
Yes, he is. But not with what they've been doing. Not with sitting back there and having a run game that can run for 180 yards a game. That allows offenses to play conservative.
Well, with that in mind, good stuff, Brock. Thanks for the football lesson for everybody. Hopefully you're able to catch it. And if not, I don't know, go back. You can just go back and listen to it and kind of write it down yourself. You can do so and you can find all of our shows at seattlesports.com or at Apple Podcasts, where you could leave us a nice review. We're trying to get to a 4.7. You could even leave a mean review. Just, give just us five stars. So that's really all we're asking for. Let's do some ranking.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwumfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen. Every morning at 9:45 on the Mike Salk Show.
That top 10 list. I'm not buying that.
Ranked.
All right, today, Brock, you probably know this because I know you keep this a calendar of events just like this. Today is the day, Justin, that...
Oh, it's a big day. Book matches were patented on this day, Brock, by the Diamond Match Company.
I know how much you like a book of matches, right? Wow. You get it whenever you go to a restaurant.
Sure.
Pick up a book of matches to remind yourself where you were. Because, everybody still smokes.
Who doesn't do that?
And so we thought today we would rank diamonds.
It's been a long time. I feel like I've brought this one up before and we haven't done it. So
diamonds ranked. And there's a lot of diamonds on this list.
Diamonds!
What kind of diamond does Heather have?
Huh?
What kind of diamond does Heather have? Round, marquee?
It's round.
Round.
Nice. Yeah.
All right.
Are you judging the choice?
Molly, what's yours? Princess.
Princess. Okay. Yeah, that sounds right.
All right.
Random. All right.
Paul Simon.
As if everybody here would know exactly what I was talking about.
You know this song, bro?
Talking about diamonds on the soles of our shoes.
Diamonds on the soles of our shoes,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I know you know that one. The Eagles, not a song about diamonds, but certainly mentions a famous diamond.
Don't you draw the queen of diamonds, boy. She'll beat you if she's able.
That's right.
She does.
She does.
The Eagles are good.
I love the Eagles.
So do I.
Everybody loves the Eagles.
Not everybody.
No?
No.
Does everyone love Shinedown? This is a Justin pick.
Yeah, Deftones also Diamond had a song Eyes. And album called Diamond Eyes. I'm sure Brock was going to start singing that one.
Nothing familiar with that.
You got Mike D from the Beastie Boys, who of course is Mike Diamond.
Oh, yeah.
You got Dustin Diamond, who played Screech, right? You got Diamond Parking. Everywhere. Mm-hmm. I know you got the Hope Diamond, Brock. You're familiar there.
Where's my Titanic theme?
Heart of the Ocean.
You got the Arizona.
Where is my Titanic theme?
We don't have a Titanic theme.
What?
I don't know. I don't have it on here. What do you want in my life? You got the Arizona Diamondbacks.
That's a reach.
Is it?
Yes.
How about Diamond Dallas Page?
The fact is that when we call DDP the People's Champion, it's because that he is a man that came from literally nothing.
DDP.
DDP.
Did he do the diamond cutter?
I think so. Yes. He should have done the DDT. Super Bowl halftime performer, Rihanna.
Right.
Are we excited for Rihanna? You don't sound that excited.
Taylor Swift said no to the Super Bowl.
Why do you think she said that?
She's an NO.
She doesn't need it.
Okay, but still, why do you think she said no?
Because she's a musician. She likes to sing and not lip sync.
Got it.
Thanks.
That makes sense.
Gaga sang.
She's got her principles, obviously. I know Pink Floyd fans will be happy.
You're trying to set a record for the most songs played and ranked?
There's plenty more, Maura.
You know what, Maura? We do have a bunch more, but not all of them are songs. I don't have any sound because it's a short story. But, of course, F. Scott Fitzgerald wrote A Diamond as Big as the Ritz. I don't know if you've ever read that, but it's excellent. I would recommend
text
it.
Text from the 760. Brock, how about the diamond push-up?
Oh, that's a good one. P90X, you hate it, but you love it.
Of course, every day you got diamond notes. Where you go true. Around the diamond, chain company.
Oh, yes, around the diamond.
Now, some other bands, Brock, I don't know how familiar you are with all of these. There's King Diamond.
Not familiar.
And then, of course, Diamond Head, who is not well known, but totally influenced Megadeth, Metallica, and the rest of those thrash bands.
This is an 80s band, I'm guessing.
Yeah, British.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's some Diamond Head. You don't need a lot of it.
What about Diamond Head and Crater Lake?
Yes.
Or Crater Lake. The Crater.
Of course, you got Black Diamond and Diamond Knot Brewing.
Yes.
You got Blood Diamond, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Washington the Nationals out of Black Diamond, isn't it?
It's close to there, yeah.
Close.
I think it's, yeah.
Wondrous worth lies far within, the diamond in the rough.
That would be from Aladdin, of course. Going old school there.
Like that.
We started your list yet?
Nope, yeah, we're almost there.
Are you on your list?
Brock, before we get to our list, I know you're going to want this one in there.
Wait.
Football.
There you go. It's the sport Goldie. Of kings.
Oh, Goldie Hawn was so good.
I was a leader of the team for about a week, and my specialty was the quarterback sneak. I was sacked and attacked. My bags were packed. Then I got the word in the form of the bird.
I truly wish that I
you know what I'm talking about.
As entertaining as you guys did. It would be fun.
That is so good.
All right, Mark, perhaps when we
who
get to
the who was
the
guy
top?
That ran his head into the locker?
Well, that's Tarullo. Put those Tarullo marks into the locker.
Yeah. Is Diamond Rio in your top five?
No. Oh, I missed Diamond Rio.
Diamond
hold on.
Rio?
I have a little Diamond Rio quickly. I don't know what this is.
In the middle. Okay.
Come on. Marty and Gene and Jimmy.
The what?
So Diamond good. Rio.
Come all right. On. Whatever you're saying. The Diamond best. Trio?
Diamond Rio.
Diamond Rio. Oh, that's Rio. The best song of any that you will play.
Wow.
I don't care what your top five
I don't
five.
Know about Brock. That. Brock, let's yeah. start with number five. It's a legendary song by an absolutely legendary band. Number five on this list. The Beatles, of course. Second time in a week we've gone with Sgt. Pepper, right? Because we had a little hope from my friends.
Yeah, well, even Revolution number 9 as well.
That's not from
that's
that
not Sgt. Pepper. That's still
that's
it,
from the White
weird
album,
era.
Of course, yes.
Because we're a sports show that needs to play the entire Beatles album within a week.
Mm-hmm. It's just helpful.
Sports fans like music, man.
Yeah, I think it's just helpful. Number four. Now, there's sort of three parts to this. There's the movie, the original song where the sample comes from, and then the sample.
Throw your diamonds in the sky if you feel the vibe. The rock is still alive every time I rhyme.
Yep.
Yeah, that's where Jay-Z says, I'm not a businessman. I'm a businessman. Diamonds are forever. Shirley Bassey, James Bond movie, and then Diamonds from Sierra Leone by Kanye. Brock, number three, my wife would be very upset if I did not include this.
Oh, yes. Come on, Neil. Come on, Neil. Woo! I think Gigi's a big Neil Diamond fan.
Today!
Yeah.
Is she? I've seen Super Diamond multiple times. That's the
really?
Neil Diamond cover band. With
really?
The Surreal Neil, that's the lead singer because of Heather.
Are they good? Is he good?
Neil. The Surreal Neil? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
Does he want to come on the show someday?
It's a good question. I think he's from the Bay Area. I'm not
oh,
sure.
He
he's a California
right.
guy, okay. And he's made quite the living impersonating Neil Diamond.
Wait,
they play a lot of stuff.
Did you know Diamond Plating isn't in? You haven't got there yet, I'm assuming? Diamond Plating is probably number one.
Diamond Plating?
Yeah, Diamond Plating.
What is that?
You know what Diamond Plate is. It's like raised diamond pattern on metal.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
You know, it's like on like stairs or like on running boards of
originally produced
toolboxes.
In Libby, Montana.
Is that true?
No.
Yeah, but yes,
hey,
it is.
I installed lights yesterday outside.
All right.
Like did the wiring and everything.
Again? Does that mean you had to redo the lights?
No. I thought that I was going to be able to clip them in, but it turned out it was a different kind. So I had to take the whole thing off, and then do all the wiring Handy and guy. Stuff. Handy. And my house is not burned down yet.
Handy guy.
Yeah, but I do have, I think, fire insurance.
Women don't find you handsome.
Number two, no sound for this one, Maura, unfortunately, but I've said it before, one of the best places in this whole city, Brock, is the Diamond Club.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, I'll give you that.
And it's about to get better, right?
Baseball diamond.
They're making that thing even better.
Yep.
How?
I don't know. They're like renovating it.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's going to be sweet.
Diamond Nuts.
Diamond Nuts.
Diamond Nuts.
That's a good one.
It is.
Yeah, I forgot about that one. The number one, because we really didn't get enough of them, unfortunately. Brock, I know you will like this. I know this one will be near your top five.
You think so?
I would think it would almost have to be.
Is this my favorite piece of sound, or was that Wildcats?
Diamond David Lee Roth.
Oh, God! Oh, God, I'm running! Ah, yeah! Run on one more time!
There he is. The one, the only Diamond Dave. Number one on this list.
Good pretty deal.
Good, yeah. Pretty good.
What else do we have for Diamond Dave? I'm in my mind that you're the girl I want to be my. The best.
Is he?
Diamond David Lee Roth?
Teeters back and forth for me.
That's fair.
509 says, isn't this like the third time you've ranked diamonds?
No.
What? No, it's just absolutely that this not. Entire segment just seems really repetitive.
No, it doesn't.
Are you talking about?
Vain, not close.
Never played attention. That before. Who's new?
We went all over the map. We got heavy metal.
We gotta go. We gotta make room for bumping.
We will. I'm so proud of your paperwork there. Take that home and frame it.
Thank you. I will. Yes.
Killed it.
Oh yeah, Lou Diamond Phillips. I had some sound from him too. Sorry, I forgot him. I didn't forget Lou Diamond Phillips. Just forgot to mention it.
Well, the nine on the diamond better get it done tonight. Get it done, boys. Go take it.
That's
go take
it. Way to end. We'll see you guys tomorrow morning. We will have Jeff Passan at 7:30. Be a good day tomorrow. Brock, until then, the hay.
And KJ Wright, diamond in the rough. Barn.
See everybody. Get to the chopper!